Hey, it's Drex from This Week Health Cyber and Risk Community, and I want to invite you to our next webinar. It's going to focus on what else? Defending health data. I'll be chatting with experts from Rubrik and Microsoft. Register right now at thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. That's all one string, R-U-B-R-I-K webinar, thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. See you online soon.
Today in Health IT, JP Morgan, diving into the presentations a little bit. My name is Bill Russell. I'm a former CIO for a 16-hospital system and creator of This Week in Health IT, a set of channels dedicated to keeping Health IT staff current and engaged. We want to thank our show sponsors who are investing in developing the next generation of health leaders, Gordian Dynamics, Quill Health, Taucite, Nuance, Canon Medical, and Current Health. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com/today. Before I get to the news, I'd love to have you join us for an upcoming webinar that's going to inform and equip you and your staff in the 2022 cybersecurity landscape. Our webinar, Stories from the Trenches, How to Protect Your Active Directory Against Ransomware Attacks. We're going to have experts from Sempris and Sirius Healthcare to walk through the lessons that they've learned from years of response and recovery to events. Your Active Directory can be the most vulnerable part of your organization. Protect your system and community from bad actors. Join us Thursday, January 27th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific for the full webinar. You can register now at thisweekhealth.com/trenches, or you just go to our homepage, thisweekhealth.com, click on the webinar itself. All right, last week, we took a look at the high-level themes from the JP Morgan conference. Today, I combed through my notes to prepare for this Friday's keynote interview with Rob DeMache, former CFO for UPMC, where we are going to explore the conference together. Leading up to that keynote, you're going to get my rundown on what I heard from several health systems. About 20 health system CEOs and CFOs presented their strategies and results at this year's JP Morgan conference. And there's some interesting tidbits to be found in the individual presentations. Before we get there, some of the themes in recap were the word headwinds. Heard the word headwinds a fair amount. It was used commonly to describe the increase in labor rates, the pandemic, COVID, inflation. These are the kind of things that are buffeting the results of the health systems. Regardless, extremely good returns in the market means that balance sheets looked really good, even when operating income may not have been that good. Although I will say that the operating margins were as high as I can remember in any of the previous JP Morgan conferences. Diversification was a big theme, as was value-based contracts and care. Partnering to accelerate transformation was a continued theme as well. That's really a carryover from last year. All right, so what I'd like to do today is dive into a couple of the presentations, and that's what I'm going to do the remainder of the week. Just give you some of the highlights from my notes on the specific presentations. The first one I'm going to talk about, Advocate Aurora Health. Jim Skogsberg is the chief executive officer. I mentioned last year that their system was putting together a scorecard, and I was really looking forward to seeing that scorecard. And then when I saw it, I realized the deficiency in the scorecard was not having enough information to really decipher the scorecard, right? So operating margins, pretty straightforward, 4.7%, revenue, $10.3 billion. Team member engagement, 83. Again, I don't know what that means. Diversity, equity, and inclusion, 50. Consumer experience, 117. Patient experience, 73. Safety and health outcomes, 108. Now, I'm sure that means something. That is a really cool scorecard and means something to their health system. But to someone without the context, it doesn't mean a lot, except they put some numbers in green and some numbers in red. But other than that, it's really hard to read a scorecard like that. So again, context is your friend, and a data presentation is your friend. They touted their value-based care success. They have about 250,000 covered lives. They have a shared savings program. That made up about 46% of their revenue, if I'm reading this correctly, which is a pretty significant amount of money. Only 54% came from fee-for-service. So that's going to be a recurring theme. I want to come back to that when we talk about Intermountain, and we talked about Ascension as well, because there's that back and forth that I touched on before. And again, just seems to be a theme that health systems that have made this push can get there. And I'm going to come back to why that is. Key leverage metrics, again, you're going to hear this over and over again. Cash to debt ratios are generally going down. Debt service coverage generally going down. Not in the case of Advocate Aurora, but in most cases. Days cash on hand generally went up, except in the case of Advocate Aurora, in which case it went down. I'm going to assume that they made some significant investments. Nothing else really from the presentation stuck out to me. I'm trying to focus in on the intersection of technology and health. And again, nothing really popped for me on this presentation. So the next one was Intermountain. Intermountain's always a very interesting presentation, very well-run organization. They are expanding, they're growing. They always give me something to think about. One of the slides they threw out there was life expectancy has tumbled the most since World War II. That was just an interesting slide for me to read, and it's good to spark conversation among people as we talk about healthcare. So United States overall went down 1.87, white Americans 1.36, black Americans 3.25 years, and Hispanic Americans went down 3.88 years. So it's interesting, sort of points to health disparities, also points to the impact of the pandemic across the board has been pretty significant. As they go into their performance, yeah, I mean, just every number is impressive. Video visits with clinicians went up 6,000%. Hospital days saved during the pandemic from remote patient monitoring, 4,840. Interesting metric. If I'm starting to do a remote patient monitoring program, that's a pretty good metric. Hospital days saved during the pandemic. All right, or just hospital days saved year over year. They also had reduction in ED visits during the SDOH demonstrations, social determinants of health, 13%. And they had individual market premiums over 3 years went down 6%. So that's impressive as well. They acknowledged, as well as everybody else did, and I can't believe I've skipped this on the theme. I talked about labor rates, but I didn't talk about the labor crisis. And that is that there is a significant pressure on clinicians. There are clinicians who are just leaving. There are clinicians who are overworked. And there are clinicians who are being recruited away. So they've invested an additional $95 million over and above planned personnel expenses for 2021. That was a big number. They introduced permanent flex work model for non-clinical caregivers. Again, just being creative with what we're doing with our employees. Intermountain is one of those organizations that stays ahead of the curve. And that's one of the reasons we look so closely at this presentation. They're looking at upskill hiring and those kind of things. They're investing in education for current and future workforce as well. They gave us their strategic framework. It really hasn't changed all that much. They're going to strengthen the core and they're going to expand their reach either through investments and through service area growth. They talked about their lessons learned during the pandemic. It's reinforced that good health is good business. Partnerships equals acceleration. Equitable outcomes is an imperative. Consumer experience is a differentiator. And scale and speed to action equals strength. And that is so true, especially during the pandemic. Those systems that were able to move quickly and adapt quickly were able to weather the storm. And then they go into their financial performance, which just drives that home, right? So strong and steady financial performance. Their operating revenue is a little over $10 billion. Their EBITDA up over 12%. The big point that Bert Zimmerle, the CFO, made was that over 50% of their revenue is not going to come from fee-for-service this year. And that was noted in contrast to the Ascension presentation that 90% of their revenue comes from fee-for-service. And they don't expect that to change for the next 3 years. Again, we'll come back to that at a later time. Key financials, 10.7% operating EBITDA margin, cash to debt ratio, 457%, operating margin, 6.4%, debt to capitalization, 17.5%, again, very low. Days cash on hand, 460. This is a system that just has impeccable performance. Their average age of plant is 9 years. So you have a lot of things that are really strong. Plus they're growing. They made the acquisition of SCL and they are going to be growing into some additional markets. So they gave us some of their principles for growth moving forward. Provide high quality service, obviously, is just foundational. expand value-based care to improve affordability, diversify revenues and geographies, maintain strong financial stability, expect rigor and discipline, achieve greater efficiencies through scale while learning new competencies. They also highlighted some of their investments. I did not get a chance to write all those down, but their investment portfolio looks pretty interesting. It's just an interesting group of companies, and it'll be important to keep an eye on that. I'm going to close today out, because we're already at the 11-minute mark, with talking about Ascension. So Ascension's presentation is the one that is in contrast to the Intermountain presentation. Very fee-for-service heavy. They're spread all over the country. Let me see if I can find it. So they're in 19 states. They're top two in most of the major markets that they serve. About 19,000 beds, 142 hospitals over 19 states, 40 senior living sites, 7 health plans, 1.15 million covered lives. Again, that's a lot of covered lives. They just cover a significant geographical area. All right, so that's who they are, and that's how widespread they are. Their total assets are $48 billion. $23 billion in unrestricted cash and investments, 325 days cash on hand, $7.5 billion in total debt, but total debt to capitalization is 22.5%, which is pretty low, 310% cash to total debt, and then their financial ratings are extremely good. So again, two very different operating models. Ascension's doing fine. Intermountain is doing fine. Ascension's operating margins are not that great. Again, mostly fee for service. And when you look at this, their operating revenue about $27 billion and their EBITDA was about $2 billion. So again, not the worst in the world, but a significant portion of that came from the relief funds that the government handed out. So Ascension has some work to do to change their model if they believe that the model is going to be changed. So they give us four key strategies that they're working on to move forward: optimize clinical enterprise, enhanced footprint, post-acute and at-home strategy, new economic model, and it's five, consumer-centric flexible care delivery. So let's see if there's anything behind the buzzwords. They are focusing on really fine-tuning their core. They are looking to expand in those services that have higher margins. They are looking to push more of the care to the home and the post-acute space. They are looking at managed care for populations where Ascension is already assuming material risk. So these are the areas where they have enough scale and capacity and probably have a more complete care continuum. They are also looking to continue their investments and their growth and investments. That's one of the areas where they have done extremely well. They've invested in companies that have gone out and spun out, and they deliver services to other healthcare organizations. And they do that at a fairly good profit. And they also have an investment portfolio that does pretty well. They're going to deploy an Ascension-wide financial model, presumably to become more nimble as they move forward. So those are the primary strategies that we're seeing. They did talk about their IT data and quality infrastructure. I was hoping to see more around that data, to be honest with you. I think they had taken steps there, and then Project Nightingale sort of got a black eye because maybe they moved a little bit too fast with Google. But I think they were heading in the right direction. One of the things that they don't have going for them is they do not have a common EHR across their entire platform. And when you're looking at 100 plus hospitals, that's going to create a significant amount of inefficiencies. Unless they can really get behind that and change the way that information gets processed, the way that information gets shared across that system, it's going to be very hard to create the operational efficiencies that you really want to create on an organization of this size, at least from an operating standpoint. But the other thing I think, as I look at this, and I said this before, I could see them start to sell off some additional markets that are not profitable, where they are not necessarily a great operator. They could sell off those assets and strengthen somebody who's already in that community to build out a complete continuum of care. Just something to consider. I was hoping for a little bit more. I'm going to try to have Eduardo on the keynote show, because I think he has brought a lot of really good thinking in from outside the industry. I like where he was going with Project Nightingale. I like where he's going with consumer experience, and I would like to hear more about that. I think that's going to be the foundation for stronger financial performance and stronger clinical performance across the entire health system. All right, that's all for today. If you know of someone that might benefit from our channel, please forward them a note. They can subscribe on our website, thisweekhealth.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Overcast, Spotify, Stitcher. You get the picture. We are everywhere. We want to thank our channel sponsors who are investing in our mission to develop the next generation of health leaders: Gordian Dynamics, Quill Health, Taucyte, Nuance, Canon Medical, and Current Health. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com/today. Thanks for listening. That's all for now.